Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God gave me a Ferrari because I am a Ferrari. You're a Ferrari too.
When God made you, he had all the options put on. You are fully loaded and totally equipped.
So do this with me.
Where did we ever come up with the style of preaching we have today? There is some entertaining preaching, but not convicting preaching, and the legacy has been tragic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And now, the announcement that... Early! Sorry. This is Wretched Radio. And now, the announcement that we have been looking forward to presenting to you is... Sound effect! We got a brand new name. That's right. While that in and of itself doesn't sound too exciting, we've been working for over a year here at what was formerly known as Gospel Partners Media to rebrand Man and build something bigger, stronger, bolder, better. That was not perfect alliteration. For that, I'm sorry, my Southern Baptist Convention friends. We have been working well over a year to create a ministry that is a legacy ministry, that is rock solid, that is not going to be a reed that bends in the wind, but is tenaciously gracious. That ain't an easy balance to find, but we're looking to strike it with a brand new name and a brand new group of individuals. We've added a number of voices, and they are going to be joining us in this ministry to build something that lasts for decades, that has greater impact, that seeks, like a nobody's business, to strengthen local churches and walk alongside Christians in an effort simply to help in our brave new world. The name of the new ministry is Fortis Institute, F-O-R-T-I-S, Institute. You say, what exactly is a Fortis Institute? I'm glad you asked. Fortis is a Latin word for strong. I'm sorry. I'm having a moment. Never thought I'd use Latin ever again. Fortis Institute, it means strong. And we think 1 Corinthians 15:58, to be strong, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That is what this organization is. And it is what we are going to try to accomplish every single day. So here's the big news. Not so much that we've got a new name, although that's kind of groovy, and we got a new logo and sound effects and such. But what's more important is we've added these men and soon to be woman too. So hold your fire, ladies. She'll be joining us probably at the beginning of the year, doing a podcast just for women. Now, she is currently studying for her doctorate in biblical counseling at the Masters University. In fact, I think Greg Gifford, how ironic is this? Greg Gifford is actually going to be I think he leads the doctoral program at Masters University. And Greg Gifford, you know, is one of the voices that you've heard here for a long time doing Transformed. Well, he's going to keep doing that, but a whole lot more. And so is Dr. John Kratz. You maybe know him because you've read his books. He's been pastoring in Sharpsburg, Georgia for 30 years. He's a shepherd. All of these guys are. They're rock solid, but they're pastoral. He'll be joining us, Dr. Adam Tyson. He's going to be doing a podcast for young men. Dr. Jason Lyle, he's going to tackle all things sciency. Dr. Andrew Walker from Southern Sem, helping us with ethics. And by the way, if you go to the new website, you can watch 10 lectures from Dr. Walker. That's what we're going to be doing here, cranking out a lot of stuff, presenting so much material that is, get ready, one of your favorite words, my evangelical friends, it's free. No subscription. We have a streaming app. You can download the streaming app wherever you do your app business. It's called Fortis, F-O-R-T-I-S plus. So just look for Fortis, put the plus sign, and you'll find it. Download, and you can watch Dr. Andrew Walker. He was in studio. We did 10 lectures on Christian ethics, the need for it, what it looks like, how to build it, and it's free because it's not a subscription model. All of these things that we're presenting, we're not going to charge. We have no grudge against any ministry that has a subscription service. We just didn't want to do it. So we just decided we're going to work really hard and we're going to crank out a lot of stuff and we're going to present it. It's all original content. It's all free. Go to Fortis Plus. You can watch Andrew Walker. It's called Engaging a Brave New World. You're going to find director's cuts. Jason Allen, he heads up the Fellows program. He'll be introducing stories that are of interest. Because our goal with Fortis Institute, it's not to simply be a think tank. I'm not even sure you could correctly call us that because I'm a part of it. And so is Jimmy. So forget the whole think tank concept. The point is, these are guys that are creating this material that is designed to help you love the Lord more without bypassing the intellect. That's a big no-no. If you don't address the intellect, the will, the emotions, they will not arrive at the correct destination, or at least not rightly motivated. So that's the goal of all of this, is to give all this stuff away so that all of us can grow together. Because here's what I'm persuaded of. We're all going to die. I don't know if you received that memo yet, but that's a reality. And I know that many of us are going to work through a long process of dying. And I know, even as I speak, there are people, believers, that are just struggling with health issues. There are Christians who are heartbroken. There are believers who have children that have shattered their hearts. And we need theology. We most certainly do, because you can't have a healed heart. You can't have a longing for heaven without it. But simultaneously, I would suggest that if we are merely theological, without pointing to the one who is the great theologian who gives us this theology, not merely so we can become academics, but so that we can love him more. That's the goal of this, I guess, newly formed organization, although it's still pretty much the same group that's been around here, plus a whole lot more. Would you please visit Fortis Plus, Fortis, F-O-R-T-I-S, the little plus sign. Would you get the app right now? And you can start streaming stuff, Tootsuite, just right away. We've got so much content up there. And every day we will add, I think it's like 5, 6, 7 new items every single day. And these new podcasts, for instance, Brad Bigney, I was listening to a little bit of his. He is, Jimmy, if you didn't know better about Brad Bigney, you'd go, that dude's been doing radio for like 30 years.
Oh, my, yes, yes.
Oh, so good. He's focusing on marriage, family, parenting, and it is so helpful. And in fact, the little snippet that I heard this morning, he's so aware. He's been pastoring forever in Ohio. And you maybe have seen him at an ACBC conference. The particular podcast, I think it's episode number 5 in his podcast, which is called Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, because marriages shouldn't just survive. They can thrive if they're done biblically. He said, well, here's something that you, if you want to have a strong marriage, here it is, prayer. Now, you probably yawned at that, said Brad. You're probably thinking, oh, prayer, that's what a little old woman does in a rocker with a shawl on her lap before she falls asleep. But maybe a better image of prayer is a warrior with face paint and battle gear. Now, that sounds suddenly like prayer is important, because it is. And he reveals that it's important. So it's not only going to help your marriage and your parenting, it's going to even help you in this instance to be a better, more excited prayer when you consider what it is that you are doing when you pray. That's just one example. Jimmy, who have I forgotten? Let's see. Oh, there you got yourself Tim Challies, the Canadian. He's going to be focusing on the local church. He's doing book reviews on the local church. So I think his first book review is Jonathan Lehman, Don't Fire Your Congregation. It's a push. I don't think you could rightly call it the congregational model of church polity, how you structure your church. What voice does the congregation have when it comes to big decisions? Small does any decisions? Who runs this place? How do you structure your church? Jonathan Lehman offers a model, and Tim Challies is going to critique his book. Man, you might want to get it, you might not. And he's going to be doing that. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I think Tim asked, can I review the purpose-driven church? It's not exactly new. Yes. Yes, please. I beg you, please do. Because church polity is a big deal. It affects all of us, does it not? That's Tim. Jimmy, who am I forgetting? There's too many. We've got too many people.
Gary. Yeah.
Gary Varvel.
Yes.
I sure hope I'm saying that right, Gary. Because I don't know if it's Varvel or Varvel. How do you know where the accent goes on that name? Check out his comics. He doesn't call them comics. They're like comedic illustrations. They're really poignant. And you'll get a laugh. And he prepares those for us, especially at Fortis Institute. And he will be contributing weekly to that. Jimmy's going to be doing his news. So much there. Did I mention it is absolutely free? If you have wretched stuff, guess what? You can stream it now. Your account will remain the same. It'll just be a better experience for you, a better entertainment experience for you. I think that's what they say on cable TV. We're very excited. We hope you will be too. Would you consider getting the app? Did I mention it's free? Fortis Plus, and visit fortisinstitute.org. It's a brand new day here at Wretched Radio. There are many struggles experienced by our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, specifically those who run the Masters Academy International.
The biggest challenge for men attending TMAI, especially in our context in Ukraine, is the opposition from people in the church who oppose sound doctrine, and therefore men really struggle to transform their ministries in accordance with the Word of God.
The Masters Academy International in Ukraine, fighting a battle on two fronts. You've got Russia, of course, and you have opposition from the church in Ukraine for biblically trained pastors to preach the gospel. Would you please consider supporting the Masters Academy International? Adopt a seminary, 17 different countries. Might want to turn your attention to Ukraine. To learn more about this amazing legacy ministry, visit wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Have you noticed? We're living in a brave new world, and this world demands a brave new response. And that's exactly what we've been talking about for quite a while. Introducing Fortis Institute. Formerly Gospel Partners Media, we've evolved to meet the challenges of today. Why the change, you ask? Well, we've added 8 new theologically sound voices to our ministry. No longer is this a one-man show. Fortis Institute, we stand strong, ready to face this brave new world head on. But you know we cannot do this alone. We need you. Your support is critical in our mission to respond to the challenges of our time. Will you join us? Your prayers and financial contributions can make a real difference, and together we can build a stronger foundation and spread the gospel to millions of people all over the world. Just visit fortisinstitute.org to learn more and download our app, Fortis Plus. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies. The war, let me tell you, it's raging out there, and Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful. Ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. 2 Timothy is Paul's last letter before his execution. He encourages Timothy to persevere amid suffering. Paul had suffered for the sake of the gospel, but he also knew the beauty and power of the gospel. He charges Timothy to cling to and preach the gospel. When you face opposition, do not fear or be ashamed, but trust God and rely on His word.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
All right, Friel, you're all excited, but we're not quite there yet. Let's go to work on that, shall we? This is Wretched Radio, now a part of Fortis Institute. Jimmy, I think we should say it that way every time, because okay. That sounds strong. Like, Fortis, and we should have a reverb on our, but we should sound like Glenn Beck doing radio. Fortis Institute. Wow, does he have an effect on his microphone? That's the name of this ministry. Behind the scenes, just so you know, yeah, we're still Gospel Partners Media because that's like government paperwork stuff. But we're now calling this ministry Fortis Institute because major changes have taken place. We have added now 7 men, and soon it'll be a woman that is going to be joining us as one of our fellows. I guess she'll have to be a fellowette to help you love Jesus more, to grow confident in your faith, so that when you're going through tough times, you can think on God theologically accurately and be comforted by Him, encouraged by Him, long for Him, look forward to the day you get to be with Him because you've grown in your love and your confidence in Jesus Christ. That's the goal of this organization. Many other goals that accompany it: defending the truth, speaking boldly, speaking graciously, trying to provide as many resources as we can for free. You can check them all out. Fortis Plus. Go to your app store thingy. Fortis, F-O-R-T-I-S, the plus sign. You'll find it. Downloads in about a split second, and you will see all of the stuff that is there, including what we are calling hot takes. Let's see if this gets you excited. You know Dr. Greg Gifford from Masters University. He is one of our fellows. He's sitting in his office. What is that? He's got a bobblehead behind him. What in the world? And he's got the United States, I think that's the Marine Corps, his flag behind him. One of his diplomas. Sorry, am I getting distracted with what's going on? Don't you love seeing behind the scenes stuff? So this is Greg sitting at his office, and he's going to give you his hot take on a subject that I suspect might be rather poignant for many people. Let's give it a listen, shall we?
Guys, I just finished an article by Fox News. The title of it is ADHD Affects 1 in 9 Kids in the U.S. New report reveals shame and stigma.
Interested? I suspect you might be.
Of course, those types of things catch my attention. If you're not familiar with the term ADHD, it stands for Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. And the article is basically arguing that 1 out of every 9 kids are now being affected by ADHD. Can you imagine that? 1 out of every 9. Let that just weigh in on you for a second. How many of those are being diagnosed with medications or prescribed medications? Excuse me. Around half. This article says 45% have received behavioral treatment in the past year. So as the article goes on, they interview a child psychologist. Her name is Dr. Tasha Brown, and she says that parents are learning how to look for signs, and they're learning about the diagnosis, so that's why we're seeing more diagnoses.
Was asked to write the foreword to Greg's new book, Lies My Therapist Told Me, and I recalled when that happened to us, when a teacher... She does not have a degree in psychiatry, psychology, no medical experience, but she had a pink and blue laminated piece of paper with the different symptoms of ADHD. And we were invited into the office to hear the symptoms that our daughter was expressing. You know, the sure symptoms so that we diagnose what is considered a mental health. So a medical diagnosis based on observation? Whoa. And Jimmy, I got to tell you, I was devastated to hear some things about my daughter that really came as a shock to us. She was not able to, ready for this? Sit still for an entire hour. Oh, a parent should be devastated. But okay, a lot of kids can't. She's 8 years old. We're talking third. She can't sit still for an. Yeah, she's got. What's the word I'm looking for? A personality. Here was the other diagnosis. When somebody walks down the hall, rather than looking at the chalkboard, she looks out the door to see who it is. Oh no!
She's curious.
My child. And we were encouraged to put her on medication because of a school teacher's observation and what it would take to, in my opinion, just make her life easier.
Another lady named Lisa Scheinhaus. She is, let me find her exact title. She is the director of community programs at Ohel Children's Home and Family Services in New York. So she is quoted as saying that the shame and the stigma of ADHD is being let go. This is a neurodivergent disorder. Oh, interesting terminology. Like, is this like epilepsy? Can we diagnose this empirically? No, but she's using the term neurodivergent. This is a term that the DSM-5 would call a mental disorder, ADHD, and she equates it to that of autism. Let me just pause for a second before I begin to offer. Do you equate ADHD to autism? Are you okay with saying that? What does she recommend? Medication is not the first option, but it is part of the options. Dr. Tasha Brown says that ADHD kids need a structured environment and they need parenting strategies that help work with teachers. So she recommends even talking to teachers. All right, so what I want you to do, well, first of all, zoom out for a second. Why is it on the rise, you may be wondering? It's on the rise because it is arbitrarily diagnosed. There's no empirical way to verify that you have ADHD or you don't have it. So what do you expect diagnoses to do whenever there's no empirical way to validate them? Of course, they're going to burge in because it's based off the worldview of the psychiatrist and the school psychologist. So of course, it's going to burge in. And if you are working with, how do I say this, an unbeliever, if you're working with an unbeliever, school psychologist, psychiatrist, what do you think the recommendation is going to be? Medication. Obviously, we live in a naturalistic world. This is a biological problem, quote unquote. So obviously you need medication. That's why you see that 45% of those that are diagnosed with it are on medication of some sort. So let me give you something to reconstruct. Here are some biblical insights, how to pick at this and then also put it back together. Don't go to a child psychologist for parenting advice. Don't do it. Don't go to an unbelieving psychiatrist for how to parent your child. Go to a certified biblical counselor and go to your pastor and work with those that are trained in the Bible. We need people that are trained in the Bible to actually help us with our children. God's word has the best answers. So what should you do? Romans 12, learn their giftedness, figure out how they work, what they're good at, what they're not good at. Work with tutors, work with an educational model that says, we want to offset your child's weaknesses. Academics may not be their strength, and that's totally fair. So learn the giftedness of your child, work with tutors and educational specialists, but recognize academics may not be the best. And then lastly, your child doesn't have a so-called mental illness or disorder. Find hope in that. They have a certain giftedness. So shepherd them toward the place where their gifts are best used. Guys, when you read these articles, I hope you're discerning. If you're not aware, my name is Greg Gifford. I have a podcast entitled Transformed.
And it's excellent. And by the way, he is on that series and it expands this conversation and he goes deeper into this, that your kid probably doesn't have a mental disorder, gifted differently. And aren't you glad? Wow, how boring would homogeneity be? Everybody's exactly the same. And guess how much work wouldn't get done? A lot of it. It's funny. We're kind of scrambling around here last couple of days, getting everything ready. Did I mention we're now Fortis Institute? Fortis Plus is the app that has all of this free material. And I watch the giftedness of people. And it's outstanding. It's like the body at church. There are people who serve. There are people who lead. There are people who teach. There are people who have a financial ability to pay for all of it. And it all works together. And that reveals God's brilliance in knitting together people differently. So your kid isn't knit together the way the school system says they need to be knit together. Who cares? Figure out how they can express it. Where can they shine? How can they excel? How can they put all of that energy into something? How's about all the jobs that demand that sort of hyperactivity? There are a lot of those jobs. where they, you got to move, baby, and you got to be on this and get going. And next thing, and deal with it. I think of the restaurant business. Whoa, you're just and everything is now. Could be perfect for your kid. That's Dr. Greg Giffert. That's his hot take. One of many features that we are now offering, courtesy of our gospel partners. It's free. There's no subscription. Just go to Fortis Plus, get the download. You can also visit Fortis Institute, where you might want to specifically visit fortisinstitute.org/webinar, because we're going to be doing a webinar on Thursday to discuss fallen pastors and how we can even find hope and strength and not become cynical and in a panic when we see so many good guys taking a tumble. By the way, that's free too. Super excited, super grateful. Hope you will check it out. Get the app, and we pray that you will be blessed. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Our top story today about a new political advertisement called White Dudes for Harris. Yeah, it's raising eyebrows, as you might imagine, across social media. The ad is aimed at appealing to white male voters, and it's drawn quite a bit of criticism for its approach, with some saying that it reinforces stereotypes and deepens cultural divides. Yeah, and I would say that if you know Joe Biden's email address, maybe send him Galatians 3:28. Our next story, we turn to an ongoing battle against what some are calling Christian nationalism. An editor for Mother Jones magazine recently sounded the alarm over a flight attendant who had the audacity to wish passengers a blessed night. Apparently, basic courtesies are now considered a threat to democracy if they have even a hint of faith behind them. And now to California, where protecting our children is not as paramount as maybe it should be. Two former students are suing their school district after their allegations of sexual abuse by a teacher were initially ignored. The teacher has since been convicted and sentenced to 30 years to life in prison. Abuse allegations like this shouldn't be swept under the rug. To Alabama now, who's become the 14th state to require age verification for accessing major pornography websites. In response, Pornhub has chosen to block access entirely rather than comply with the new laws. Some companies, I guess, would just rather lose business than protect children. In South Dakota, pro-life activists are reporting harassment while opposing a proposed abortion amendment. These volunteers are claiming that they're receiving verbal abuse and stalking from supporters of the measure, which would allow for late-term abortions. Let's pray for those volunteers, and as we continue standing for life, remember, we're called to speak the truth in love. So even when facing hostility, we can choose to respond with grace. It's not always easy, but it is always right. Well, a weather report covering Hurricane Helene was recently crashed by a MAGA supporter, and at least one Christian news outlet said the supporter was delivering, quote, the most important message of 2024. But we know the only message that matters this year, last year, next year, or any year is the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. But now let's end on a more inspiring note. 21-year-old NBA star AJ Griffin has made the bold decision to retire from professional basketball to pursue full-time ministry. Griffin was the 16th pick of the 2022 NBA draft, and he shared in a YouTube video that he's leaving the sport to, quote, serve God with his full yes. And that's a decision that reminds us that true success isn't worldly success. And that's been today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is teaching, the spiritual ability to explain and apply God's word. A teacher studies to gain knowledge of the Bible, is equipped with wisdom to understand it, and is gifted with the ability to explain it to others so they can grow in God's truth and apply it to their daily life. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yeah, and we got cool new sound effects too. This is Wretched Radio. That is the sound effect for Blinded with Science. What is that? It's Dr. Jason Lyle's contribution to Fortis Institute. That's our new name. It includes Wretched, Wretched Radio and all things Wretched, you can find at Fortis Institute. But you're also going to find a group of guys that are offering such helpful material. And this would be a hot take from astrophysicist Dr. Jason Lyle. You can also find this at fortisinstitute.org. But go to the app, just get the app. And all of this stuff is free. It's Fortis Plus sign, Fortis Plus. And here's what will also happen every day in your inbox. We're just going to send you these things. You can take advantage of them or not. It's all free. It's not like we're soliciting. We want to get this material out there because it's so good.
How good is it?
Well, thanks for being on point on that one. It's so good. It sounds this good.
There has been a new supercomputer simulation on plate tectonics and how continental shapes affect global temperatures. This simulation predicts that continents will drift together, forming a new supercontinent, and this will cause the Earth's average temperature to rise to between 104 and 122 degrees Fahrenheit, which will kill the majority of Earth's land mammals. Now, this is supposed to happen about 250 million years from now, so we have some time. But whenever I hear someone declare with scientific precision weather or temperature conditions millions of years from now, I always think to myself, you can't even predict the weather next Wednesday.
Exactly. How's about that storm, the Helene that came up? By the way, got to be praying for people there. There's some hurting people, over 100 people now dead. But there's a lot of believers there. There's a lot of unbelievers there. It is a mess. And it was not predicted, was it? The spaghetti model, the European model. And it's God sitting in the heavens going, yeah, watch this. You think it's going there? I'm sending it here because he's the one in charge of weather. And I don't think we're ever going to be able to predict it with any degree of certainty, let alone these are going to be the temperatures in 250 million years. That's side splitting. And this is Dr. Jason Lyle.
Not with any certainty, right? I mean, they say, well, there's a 70% chance of rain, but then by the time it approaches, the weather forecast often changes anyway. And again, there's a reason for that. Weather is a complicated system. There are a lot of variables, and we don't understand how they all work together. Clouds, we know that clouds trap heat at night, and that makes the Earth's surface a little warmer. But those same clouds during the day reflect sunlight, which makes the Earth's surface a little cooler. So how do those add? Well, it's complicated. And from what I can tell, this computer simulation was based on a secular view of plate tectonics. And secularists believe that continental drift has happened slowly over hundreds of millions of years, that the continents drifted apart gradually. See, I would reject that view. There's good scientific evidence that plate tectonic motion, the bulk of it, happened rapidly a few thousand years ago at around the time of Noah's flood. And most creationists do believe that the continents were originally connected into a supercontinent, something like Pangaea, and that broke apart during Noah's flood and was perhaps the mechanism that God used to cause the global flood. In fact, Dr. John Baumgartner, whose PhD is in geophysics, he's done his own supercomputer simulations using biblical information, and he found that this model fits the data very well. In fact, he's even made successful predictions using that model. So using this biblical information, we would expect that the plates have more or less lost their energy at this point. They might have just a little residual coasting energy, but that's about it. And since God has promised never to send another global flood, we don't expect any more rapid plate tectonic activity. So our view of the future is a bit different. Well, whenever you hear a climate alarmist say something like, well, if we don't do something drastic, you know, the Earth's going to experience this runaway greenhouse effect and we're all going to die, whether they think it's 20 years from now or 250 million. Remember this. We have a promise from God that such an effect will not happen as long as the Earth remains. In Genesis 8:22, God promised that there are certain cycles of nature that will remain as long as the Earth does. And he includes specifically the day and night cycle and the seasons, summer, winter, seed time, harvest. These will continue as long as the earth does. There's nothing that can change that. God has promised stability in nature because he's the one that's upholding it. And therefore, there's nothing we can do to change that. That's a comforting thought. Now, I do have to point out, this verse does not say that all summers will be equally warm or all winters equally cold. Climate does vary. from century to century. And that's by God's design. But there will always be summer and winter. And that precludes any kind of catastrophe that would cause the Earth's temperature to rise to such an extent that you'll never have winter again, or you can't have seed time and harvest again. That's not going to happen. We have a promise from God. Now, on Judgment Day, all bets are off. The Bible indicates that God is righteous, and he will, one day in the future, put an end to all sin by burning it to a crisp. And there's no stopping that global warming. Because it, again, is caused by God. But there's a way to escape it. And the only way to escape it is by faith in Christ. That's the only way you can escape God's judgment. So the only global warming you should really be all that concerned about is that which God will initiate. There's no stopping it, but you can't escape it by having faith in Christ. And so when someone asks you, what can we do about global warming? You need to tell them, well, you need to repent of your sin and trust in Christ. That's the only way you can escape the global warming associated with God's judgment.
Oh, wait, sound effect. Oh, that's a good sound effect right there. That's Dr. Jason Lyle giving a hot take. He's going to be doing that regularly, and it's all free at Fortis Plus. Don't spell out plus, just Fortis with the plus sign. And you can download the app where you'll get that stuff every single day. Jimmy?
Yes?
I think this might be a sign of some sort. Just received a text. Now, this is kind of weird, actually. We've been working on this new app and launching the Fortis Institute for a year. I literally just got a text from Matt down the hall who said, Living Waters just released their app. At the exact same time.
Great minds.
Didn't plan that, but I would say this. As long as you're at the App Store, get Living Waters, too. Those guys do bang-up work over there. Ray Comfort, Emile Zwane, Mark Spence. They all talk like this, by the way. Ray's just rubbed off on all of them, don't you know? Oscar Navarro is there. Great stuff from Living Waters. So get their app, too. And get Fortis Plus, if you would be so kind. Job, chapter 38. Perhaps this is also one of your favorite sections of scripture. Love this. Job, he's been shellacked, taken a beating, and he finally breaks and starts to question God. And God responds. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkens counsel, my counsel? By words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I'll question you, and you're going to answer me. You don't accuse God. He's got some accusations against you. Whoa. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you? Do you know how this stuff works? And the answer to that is no, we don't know about tectonics and how it works and how it's going to work. We think we know. We've got lab coats and we've got degrees. We don't know. We can't do this ourselves. We can observe it. That's scratching the tip of the iceberg. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? Who measured it? Who came up with the exact way to do this so it all works together? And then it goes on, verse 8. Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb, when I made the clouds its garment and the darkness its swaddling band, when I fixed my limit for it? God controls the weather. Look, we can put our energies toward trying to understand it. But when we adopt this mindset that says we've got this sorted and we're going to predict exactly how it happens, it ain't going to happen because we don't have a clue. We think we have a clue. And look, we're making advancements. I get that. It's not like we don't do anything that forwards the advancement of human flourishing. But to think that we know what's going to happen in 250 million years because of plate shifts? Have you commanded the morning since your days began or caused the dawn to know its place? Then verse 16, have you entered the springs of the sea? Or have you walked in search of the depths? 19, where is the way to the dwelling of light? You're going to tell me, NASA, exactly what's going on out there? Really? You're going to tell me you got that sorted and what's happening in Venus and Mars? And then this, verse 22. Have you entered the treasury of snow? Or have you seen the treasury of hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war? By what way is light diffused? or the east wind scattered over the earth. In other words, it is a three-chapter accusation against Job, who questioned God, basically exposing the fact that you don't know what you're talking about. Step off. And we need to have that attitude too. And when we see these professionals that make these bold, declarative statements that we know what's going to happen, I think the best thing we can do, two things. Point them to Job and then have them download the Fortis Plus app. This is Wretched Radio. Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
Just over a century ago, the lost generation emerged from the fog of World War I. Today, we face a new crisis. Young men of Gen Z, that's ages 12 to 29, are caught in the crossfire of a cultural war. Introducing Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, a new production from Fortis Institute. And this is not just another self-help program. No, no, no. It is a spiritual cure from a spiritual problem. Way of Manhood is available now on the Fortis Plus app. You can get there by visiting fortisinstitute.org. And while you're at fortisinstitute.org, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And together we can guide a generation back to the right path. Just visit fortisinstitute.org/donate and learn more about joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. FortisInstitute.org.
You're familiar with Tomorrow Clubs. It's a ministry that we have happily lauded over the years. We commend them heartily to you because they are an efficient ministry. They've got the gospel right, and they go to places where the gospel is usually not propagated. Very poor parts of the globe, specifically Eastern Europe and in parts of Africa, the Tomorrow Clubs, working in conjunction with a local church to preach the gospel to the kids, sing, have them memorize scripture, pray, and entire towns are getting saved. We love the Tomorrow Clubs, and if you want to be encouraged and be reminded that Jesus is building his church, they just reached 1,000 of these clubs. That's encouraging, and I'd like to encourage you to please consider become a ministry partner to the Tomorrow Clubs. If you like evangelistic ministries, they're the ticket. They're the bomb. You can learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the cornerstone. When laying a foundation, every stone must be aligned in reference to the cornerstone. God is building his church as a holy temple, and as believers, we are being brought into line with the cornerstone, Jesus Christ.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you already have a headache, either take some Tylenol lickety-split, or you might want to listen to something less aggravating. This is Wretched Radio. You're thinking, Friel, how is this different than any other time we listen to Wretched Radio? A headline from Daily Mail. Scientist claims we're characters in an advanced AI world, and the proof is hidden in the Bible. You could put me in a room with a box of crack and a Bible and tell me to go figure out what verse says that we're actually a computer simulation and God is just a great big computer in the sky. Go ahead. What verse would you dream up? I said before getting to it in this article, I'm like, okay, a computer okay. In Job 38, which we just read, and it talks about, you know, the drawing the lines and measuring things, and computers sort of do that. So yeah, I guess that's where it talks about God being a computer simulation, except for the fact that it's actually God saying he did it. And speaking in a personal way, as a personal being. Have you guessed which verse it is? That's right, John 1. According to this physicist, the Bible itself tells us that we're in a simulation, and it tells us who's doing it. It's done by an AI. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There it is right there. I think it's obvious to everybody. Have you ever heard the word eisegesis? Well, that's what you're hearing when this guy smashes into a Bible verse his presupposition. And that is such dangerous territory. And people do it all the time. They come up with an idea and then they go look for a Bible verse where they can smash that meaning into the text. And that is precisely what this guy has done. Because in his opinion, the word is actually means artificial intelligence. The problem with that is when it was written, that's not what it meant, because John was not aware of artificial intelligence. His original audience wouldn't have understood artificial intelligence, and it would have made no sense if he wrote, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. So what is the Word? This would be an opportunity to encourage you to do something that will make you smarterer than most pastors in America. Get yourself Fortis Plus. No, I'm sorry. I was going to say the MacArthur Study Bible, but I just, you know, I'm kind of programmed, it would appear, to get the Fortis Plus app. It's free. No subscription. Come and get them. Fortis Plus. But that's not what I'm supposed to be talking about. The MacArthur Study Bible. Get it? And read the entire New Testament, one book at a time, any order you want, at your own pace, but read every single footnote as you go. By the time you're done, and it will take you a bit, you're going to be smart. It is a great way to engage with the Bible. So let's just take an opportunity to do that right now, shall we? So I'm reading, in the beginning was the Word. It's John 1:1. Here's what it says in the footnote. In contrast to 1 John 1:1, where John used similar phrase from the beginning to refer to the starting point of Jesus' ministry, this phrase parallels Genesis 1:1, where the same phrase is used. Huh. Would you look at the elegance of the Bible and how it all just works together like that? John used the phrase in an absolute sense to refer to the beginning of the time-space-material universe. The verb was, in the beginning was, these footnotes. The verb highlights the eternal preexistence of the Word. In other words, Jesus. Because he was always there. You make artificial intelligence, you have to make a computer. God always existed. And that's what he's talking about here. So going down to the word Word, John borrowed the use of the term Word not only from the vocabulary of the Old Testament, but from Greek philosophy, in which the term was essentially impersonal, signifying the rational principle of divine reason, mind, or even wisdom. John, however, imbued the term entirely with Old Testament and Christian meaning. Going back to Genesis 1:3, where God's Word brought the world into being, where God's Word is his powerful self-expression in creation, wisdom, revelation, and salvation, and made it refer to a person, in other words, Jesus. Greek philosophical usage, not Keanu Reeves usage, therefore is not the exclusive background of John's thought. Strategically, the term Word serves as a bridge word to reach not only Jews, but also unsaved Greeks. John chose this concept because both Jews and Greeks were familiar with it. You get the point, it goes on. This guy trying to use the Bible to eisegete. And by the way, sell books. He happens to have a new book. Does that shock you? The professor says that this verse has deep theological significance in Christian doctrine. Yeah, I'll say. But it carries intriguing implications. Oh. when considered in the context of the universe as a simulation. Did you hear what happened there? So if you read this verse, you enter the verse with the idea that the universe is a simulation, well, then you make the verse say that. That's called eisegesis. And that's obviously a big no-no. You wouldn't want that done to your writings, and I could do that all day, every day. You can pick a verse, and I can find a way to import what I want it to say, and it can be ludicrous, as this is, but it doesn't matter. People seem to just buy into it. All right, Jimmy, think of, like, just come up with a very popular, one of your favorite Bible verses.
Galatians 2:20.
Right. Go ahead.
You don't know it? I've been crucified with Christ.
Uh-huh.
It is not I, but
Christ who lives with. I'm waiting for you. I got it. All right. So, all right. I kind of hate to use that verse because it's gorgeous.
Yeah, right.
And it would seem like mockery of it, but that's what this is. It maybe doesn't sound as mocking, but it is because it's ludicrous. So I'm crucified with Christ. Well, I'm a construction worker, and that's a verse about how to use certain products that will last and endure. What? Well, yeah, that's what I brought to the text, and that's what I think it says. That's called scripture twisting. That's scriptural origami. We have a resource called Herman Who that helps us know that we do not practice eisegesis, we practice exegesis. He argues that the word in this famous sentence refers to the underlying computer code that governs and controls the simulation. Now, there's believe me, it's just a grain of truth in this particular article. How does God uphold the universe by the word of his power? What are these laws of nature? Does he use these things to run the place? And I would say the answer is yeah. And we discover those things when we practice science, which is repeating, testing, positing, testing again, observing again, to see if it's actually true or if it's actually a law. So sure, God can use things. He's using gravity. He uses physics. If you ever read Dr. Jason Lyle's book, Fractals, it'll make your head crack open like a melon, but it'll also show you the complexity of the design of things that you cannot see, which is what things that are seen are made of, the things that you cannot see. And God uses math, God uses physics, all his concepts to run it. But if there isn't, this is also a flaw in this whole premise. AI doesn't run by itself. It needs to be run by a human. There needs to be a greater behind it in order for it to run. It's got to be programmed, etc. So yeah, God does use laws of nature, but they're his laws. He implements them. He empowers them. He enforces them. And he's the one who makes sure that they are constant. But that doesn't mean he's an AI computer. The academic further argues that the word was God could mean that God is a part of the simulation rather than separate from it. You know why? Because that's what I wanted to say. Quote, the code running the simulation is not separate from the divine, but rather an integral part of it, perhaps an AI. Honestly, professing to be wise, they become fools. I'm glad that you're looking at computers and going, wow, there's something so complex, it can actually do a lot of stuff. Keep going. Keep going. Furthermore, you can turn AI into a robot all you want, but they're never going to have human capacities. Those robots, someday they might be as human looking, but they're not. And God is a person. And Jesus Christ, the God-man, is also a person sitting in heaven, interceding for you now, inviting you into a personal relationship, which, by the way, Romans 4, so fascinating, just did a study on this. When you're reading your MacArthur Study Bible, look for the connection of the resurrection and theology. Because, for instance, in the New Testament, like 1 Peter 1, the connection to Jesus Christ being God is the resurrection. You can know it because of the resurrection, that his claims are verifiable and accurate. Romans chapter 4 at the end of the verse talks about the resurrection. Therefore, You're invited into a personal relationship. The resurrection makes a personal relationship with God available to you. Our God is personal. He's not a computer. Never thought I'd have to say that. 40 plus. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.